Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends, our weekly bonus podcast where Dad and I shoot the shit, talk about the police, the fire brigade, the funeral industry, all kinds of really cheerful, esoteric stuff. Dad, we have a really great question, and rather than sort of just faffing around, this question from Daniel Leedley is so good that I kind of think we should dive straight in. Are you up for that?
I'm up for it, mate. I'm always up for it.
Awesome. Okay,
is
here
his,
we go.
Is his name Leedley?
It's Daniel Leedley.
What a great name.
Yeah.
Leedley.
Leedley.
I'm loving it already.
Let's not bury the Leedley. Here we go. Hey team, when I was younger, I spent the Christmas holidays with my grandparents. My grandfather was the chief firefighter for a time, and my grandmother would answer the calls at the fire station directly across the road from their house. I don't really remember them being called out a lot at night, but there was one call I remember. In the morning after Granddad was giving a car a test run, he also worked in a garage that was also directly across the road from their house. Parenthetically, Dad, isn't it interesting to find out that people in the emergency services often juggle different jobs?
Hmm. Yes, but I love that word parenthetically as well.
It's good, isn't it?
Yep. Can you tell me what it means?
You can't spell parenthetically without parent when something's in parentheses, right? Like it's just an aside.
You know? I knew that. I just wanted to sort of put it out there for everyone else.
Thanks. Verbosity. It's another thing. Anyway, I'll keep going. And he told me to jump in as he would show me last night's job. Oh, Jesus. We head down the main road away and come across a car jammed in the V shape of the branches of a tree maybe 5 meters off the ground. Fuck me. It appeared someone failed to take a moderate bend in the road and had parked up for the night. That is some fuck terminology. Parked up.
Hmm.
Oof. Then Granddad was like, that's not the best part. He said when we arrived, there was a bloke wandering around on the road, obviously off his face drunk and claiming to know nothing about any car crash. Anyway, they managed to get him to go get checked out by the ambos, and it turned out later on, they found out he had broken both his ankles while parking his car up the tree. So not only had he been walking on broken ankles, but had also climbed out of his car and down out of the tree on broken ankles. So my question to you guys is, have either of you seen any acts of superhuman strength of people under the influence in your time? Keep up the awesome work. Cheers, Dan Leedley.
Dan, you're the man. I'm serious.
That's a good story.
Yeah, it's great. It's a bit weird to think about. That reminds me. I mean, have we figured out how the car actually got up that high?
Well, if it's a corner, right? If you're taking a corner, I would assume, Dad, there would have to be some sort of bump in the road to give it some air, right?
No, you're right, Paul. And why are we talking about this particular thing? It reminds me of that case. Now, you'll have to refresh my memory now,
I think it's in Loose Units. It's when the
two brothers.
They were in a Alfa Romeo, if I remember correctly. Was it
Lamborghini?
Lamborghini, yeah, something Italian. Mm. And they hit the curb, and hitting the curb at that speed gave them enough air to basically wrap themselves around a pole midair.
Mm.
But
so they got incredible height.
Yeah.
So we now know that it is possible for a vehicle to basically sort of with the departure angle, like a median strip or something.
Yes.
But the things we need for this car to have got so far up a tree, we need speed.
Yep.
And we need something, not just a rock or something. It needs to actually create the genesis and the impetus to become airborne.
Yeah, sick air is what we call it. So you basically need something to bounce you off the ground and give you that kind of sick air, which is so sick. So first of all, this is one of those stories that's really fun to talk about because the guy didn't die. Yeah, so many times we talk about cases where the end result is horrifying. So, I mean, the physics of it are interesting. If he's coming to... it would be so useful to see what this corner looks like. But the way it's been described here, right, is we head down a main road away and come across a car jammed in the V shape of the branches of a tree, maybe 5 meters off the... 5 meters? That's crazy.
That's the second story of a house.
Fuck. Well, Australia, for those of you who live overseas, and we have a lot of overseas listeners, gum trees are very sturdy and can get extremely big. So let's say you've got a 10-meter-high gum tree. There's a V-shape of the branches about 5 meters off the ground, assuming this isn't exaggerated, but I'm going to take it as given. It appeared someone failed to take a moderate bend in the road and had parked up for the night. Okay, so let's say you're going around a bend. You are going extremely fast. I'm guessing a head-on with the tree would probably be fatal, so maybe hit it side.
That didn't happen.
No?
No, not a chance.
Okay, so he's turning, right, but turning way too fast and way too late. What are the odds that the car was spinning midair?
It's to me like the Dukes of Hazzard.
Right.
In that scene at the beginning.
So they've stopped. He's stopped midair to monologue. And then unpaused and right. Yeah.
No, they're just the guy's driving along, super speed.
Yeah,
he's hit something that's then sent him off at an angle, probably around about 30 degrees. He's gone up and up and up through the air, and just fortunately, he's very fortunate in that if he had been going slower, he would have not hit the V.
Okay,
because hitting a V is not actually hitting a V; it's planting yourself between a V,
yep,
or in this case, really the letter Y. Sounds like Sesame Street.
No, it's definitely a weird way to learn the alphabet. Yes.
Yeah. But now, listeners, I don't know whether I've ever told you, but the fact that this gentleman managed to get out of the car, it's not dissimilar to someone getting themselves out of a parachute. Because parachutes often land in trees, and people have found, particularly in the Second World War, years and years after the war, they have found skeletons hanging up in trees, still in the harness, from people that jumped out of planes in wartime and could never ever free themselves. They would have... Well, if it had been winter, they would have frozen to death, which would have slowed down decomposition, of course. But, you know, Europe does experience some radical summers as well.
Yeah.
Imagine a pilot or a gunner.
Very well.
Or a crewman that's jumped out of, for example, a Lancaster bomber on fire or a Messerschmitt and... The objective of the exercise, of course, is to live, and one day, you're very sweet the way you laugh with me, Paul, and I find it an endearing quality, and it's comforting to know that I occasionally say something moderately funny or perhaps silly.
Well, it makes much better broadcasting if when I find something funny, I audibly kind of express that because people can't see me grinning. You know what I mean?
No, but it's nice, and I find it. Quite nice.
Oh, cheers. So, parachutists.
But can you imagine maybe 5 or 10 years later, you're strolling through the forests in say, Germany, wearing your best Lederhosen with your little hat.
Lederhosen, I think it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you might be skipping in a jolly manner.
Oh.
Out hunting for berries on a Sunday, and all of a sudden you look up, I don't know why you looked up, maybe to take a photo, you might be an ornithologist checking out the bird life, and you see a skeleton hanging down.
In uniform. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, that isn't it just amazing to think that people died? I mean, so near yet so far is the saying that comes to mind.
That's a really bad... It is also possible that they, you know, if they were parachuting in behind the lines in France or something, that they got hit by a stray bullet and their body landed, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, or alternatively, as they landed, they hit a, you know, V-shape in the tree and they weren't fortunate like our letter writer and they broke their neck on the way down. But if you were trapped there, and, you know, 3 miles from a, you know, French bakery and you could smell bread every morning as you slowly expired, that is a fucked way to go. I mean,
No, you're right, Paul, but here's something very interesting about this particular story that we've managed to go off on this tangent.
Mm-hmm.
But hear me out. Imagine you've jumped out and you're within enemy lines.
Yes.
Now, for any other person, you would scream and cry for help.
Oh, but if you call for help, you might also alert the Germans.
And they'll come and shoot you.
The Axis forces, yes. Okay.
So there's a... And you've got these patrols that would be sort of walking around and imagine it's nighttime. So you're just lying there, hanging in the breeze.
Uh-huh.
It's unlikely that you, as you exited the aircraft, you will have taken any snacks with you.
Right.
Because there probably weren't any on board.
You're telling me you don't whack some trail mix in your dungarees or whatever?
Some people may do that. But, you know, obviously, and there they hang. And it wouldn't be uncomfortable hanging if you hadn't broken any limbs. But, listeners, this guy managed to get himself out of the car.
Yeah.
He's somehow shimmied down. We can assume he shimmied. Or is it not possible, listeners, that he broke both ankles when he hit the ground?
Okay. That is a very good point. That is a very good point. Right. So he's... Oh, yeah. Of course that's how he broke his ankles. I mean, is it not possible that he's... Okay. So you got your feet on the pedals. The car hits the tree.
Car, the front of the car, based on the information available to you and me sitting here now...
Wasn't wrapped around anything, so...
Correct.
No frontal
impact. I would imagine no frontal impact. Good, Paul. You would have made a very good crash investigator.
Oh,
the only thing that could have been a slight problem is where the car was wedged. But we can assume that it was wedged nice and tight. Now, I mean, there are all sorts of scenarios here. Was it a two-door car? Was it wedged in a way that enabled him? I mean, my gut feeling, taking into consideration the shape of the V, is that even if the doors had have been wedged, because it would have been kind of roughly center, sort of for the thing not to sort of fall out. So it was obviously wedged in bloody hard.
Well, the odds of it falling out of the V when it was so wedged in there, right? Because when you're wedged in the V, it's really, you know, that's not an ideal situation.
No, but you would...
But you rarely have 2 broken ankles when you try and get yourself out of a tight V.
Exactly. So we can assume... And 15 feet is... I mean, I fell down some stairs. You recall that terrible day?
Oh, you had... Yeah, so I was at St. John's in Narrowena, and I'd finished school, and Mum came to pick us up, and she said, Dad's had an accident. Turns out we were moving house, and you were carrying furniture backwards down some Pebble Creek stairs, and it had rained.
With firemen.
Who were, you know, pretty...
Thank God.
Yeah, big dudes, but also prone to rescues.
No, but they were brilliant. But the story is that I... stepped off the top of the stairs.
Yeah. Oh, wait, were you at the top or the bottom?
The very top.
And do you remember what furniture you were carrying?
I remember everything about that terrible day. It was so traumatic. And I think if I can just quickly relate to the listeners what it's like to break one ankle.
Ugh.
So then we need to sort of come back to this guy. But just briefly.
Yep.
I went to step down the stairs and I stepped off with my left foot. Because I'm left-footed, so it's sort of that's the foot I would step off first, and my left foot went all the way to the bottom of the stairs. My right foot stayed at the very top of the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
My testicles, a yep. word that I don't like and feel necessarily that comfortable using that word in front of my eldest son, but Paul, it's important that you and the listeners know that you've all seen a ballet dancer do a perfect split.
Yep.
Where their genitalia are actually touching the ground. Well, my genitalia were touching the stairs. The problem was that as my left foot went all the way to the bottom,
yep.
my right foot twisted 90 degrees, snapped. So what we had... Now, I had the most... I grabbed onto the rail and it was raining. I had two or three incredibly highly skilled, calm, professional firefighters with me. We were all off duty. And I didn't need to look at the horrendous, totally mashed, fucked up right foot. I didn't need to look at it. Because I looked at the faces of my colleagues.
Oh, of course, yeah.
That had seen some bad shit in their days.
Mm.
Really bad shit.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And I'll never forget looking at my mate Kevin's face. And I knew in a microsecond that I was rat shit. And then I, for the first and last time in my life, I was, and I'd be interested to get some medical feedback on this, my entire body became overwhelmed with a sense of extreme heat. My whole body felt as though I was in a furnace. And I was grabbing on to this rail.
Yeah.
I couldn't look. Now, what I'd done, listeners, not only had I broken all the bones in my ankle, what was called a trimalleolar fracture, but I also had a total dislocation. Now, with a dislocation at 90 degrees, so I'm looking down at my foot, and it was actually, you know how Charlie Chaplin used to walk with his feet sticking out slightly?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
My right foot was sticking out at 90 degrees.
Oh, Dad.
And Christine came running over and just shouted out, should I call an ambulance? And the guys that I was with, the fireys who were really, really switched on, and to this day I owe them a great debt of gratitude, is that they decided not to call the ambulance, which, as it turns out, was probably a really good thing.
Can you explain why?
Because with that dislocation, there was zero blood getting to my actual foot. And the general consensus is that if you have no blood getting to an outer limb for at least 20 minutes, then things can go really bad. So they decided to convey me to Manly Hospital. And I remember sitting in the front seat. I had one fireman behind me holding onto me. He was in the back seat with his hands coming around either side, basically pulling me into the seat.
Yeah.
Kevin was driving like a man possessed on a combination of drugs, of which he hadn't had any, but the adrenaline was pumping, and they realised the extreme urgency. I had my good leg straight, sort of going underneath the glove compartment, and I had the other leg pulled up, and I was holding with two hands clenched around my knee, so I was supporting my leg, and it was so surreal, everyone looking down at it, because you expect both feet to be pointing in front of you,
mm-hmm.
but one of my feet was facing towards the driver. And I'm not talking 15 or 20 or 30 or 50, I'm talking 90 degrees. It's a perfect right angle. And the pain was so bad, I was doing everything in my power not to pass out. And it was a very, very long journey. And when we finally got to Manly Hospital, they had staff there. They got a wheelchair. I was wheeled into the emergency department. They put me on a stretcher. I remember there were at least six people
mm-hmm.
all around me, and they all began to press down on me, pressing hard into, sort of pressing me basically into the bottom of the trolley.
Yeah.
And then the emergency doctor, he grabbed my broken foot and he pulled it out and he rotated it 90 degrees and then he tried to re-engage it, but they didn't fully appreciate all the broken bones. So it was a little bit like sort of trying to mesh something perfectly, but you can't because the broken bones won't allow that to happen. And I remember screaming so loudly. This is Manly Hospital, which is up on a big hill.
Yeah.
I'm fairly convinced that people a kilometre away heard me scream. It was really? A scream like no other. And then, for the first and last time in my life so far,
mm-hmm.
and you hear about it quite often when people experience extreme trauma, my entire body shut down, and thank God. Now, I woke up, there was an orthopaedic surgeon standing next to me. I'd already been x-rayed. I'm oblivious to all of this. And he was looking at the x-ray and he said to me, "We are going to operate today." And they operated, and it took so, so, so long to heal. I then got the wound went black, and I, because I had a plate, three plates and 11 screws.
Yeah.
And I got an infection, and the infection was lying on the metal, and I got the most terrible infection, but they couldn't pull all the metal out. They had to wait until the bone, everything fixated was the word they used.
Yeah.
So eventually when it started to heal, what they wanted to do was I had to go into hospital to get all the plate and screws removed, and I'd waited many, many months. And I went into surgery, and that night when it was weird, they came into my room and basically they were turning all the lights off in this section of the hospital.
Right.
And I was sort of the last person out. It was quite surreal. And when I went to get out of bed, I felt this incredible rush of blood. And I looked down at the bandage, and the bandage started to sort of go all red, and it was just and oozing. And then what we found out, that one of the wounds had opened up after surgery because they'd gone in through both sides. And so I've got two scars, one either side, which I don't think is that uncommon for that particular break. And what happened was the entire wound opened up to, and they couldn't then restitch it. And they said to me, you'll have to let it granulate, which takes a long time for those that don't know. And what happens is layer by layer, at a sort of almost a micro level, the deep wound that, by the way, I could put my thumb into, like sideways. That's how deep it was. It was rat shit. It was just an open, just terrible, raw, bloody wound.
All right.
And anyway, I eventually began to recover. We had to dress the wound with and clean it with saline. It was a very long process, many, many months, but it granulated. And eventually the skin kind of grows its way all the way back to the surface. So there's no real... I mean, it looks pretty gross now, but it's very different to the other side, which is like a pencil line, very beautiful. And this is all sort of a bit just thick and not so great. But what happened was then, listeners, I was still in the fire brigade and I was having a bath on a summer afternoon. I was in the house by myself and I'm in the bath.
I look down. I think you've told this part of the story before.
Okay, cool. Well, it's just in a nutshell that this little white cord was sticking out of my foot. Have I told you that?
Yeah, and then you pulled it out and it turns out it was...
No, I tried to pull it.
It was a tendon. You've told this story before and I almost threw up. So yeah.
Okay, so, but anyway, the thing is, back to this guy.
Yes, broken ankle.
You know, he falls to the ground.
Yeah.
But thank God he was inebriated.
Of course.
Because it's the drugs. It's the alcohol.
But also the adrenaline, I assume.
Adrenaline. I mean, he'd be looking up at his car, pissed probably. He might not have been incredibly affected, but he'd also be extremely gracious and in awe of being alive.
But I'm also thinking maybe the adrenaline... So you've got the adrenaline from the crash and being alive, and you've got the adrenaline of the police arriving, which... generally speaking, does kind of get the blood pumping a little bit, right?
Definitely, And then he's probably going to start bullshitting to them. I think that's what the guy said. At first, he just denied it.
Mm.
But, you know, I mean, you don't need to be that brilliant a detective to figure out that there's a car up a tree and there's a guy below who's pissed, hobbling around on two broken ankles, which is a feat that's extraordinary. But people have done incredible things. There have been people in war that have stepped on a landmine and kept running with basically just running on stumps.
Yeah.
So things... And there's the shock thing too, but this guy would have been thinking, God, this is difficult to explain how my car ended up. I think it's a fascinating story.
Yeah, absolutely. I hate talking about your ankle because it's very disturbing and I've had... it's okay. I've got my own broken nose story, which is actually in... It forms a fairly pivotal part of Electric Blue. It's the story of how I broke my nose. And that was, I mean, you remember that. That was a terrible time.
Yes, but you never ever told us how you did it.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, but not at the time.
See, you seem to think that someone pushed me or something, but that's not what happened at all. It was a, you know, but I mean, the point is, getting a bone broken and then having to go to Manly Hospital is something we both have in common, but just a different bone. Mm. Look, I really, really enjoyed that story. I'd be really curious to see what happened to the guy, you know, and how he ended up doing. Because obviously, at that point, first of all, Dad, what do you arrest that guy for?
Oh, it's just neck drive.
Yeah, but his ankles are shattered.
We don't know whether when they breath tested him, he was... Look, in that case where you're injured, they probably, my gut feeling... In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, hey, that's funny, actually, a limb. But I would say he would have been conveyed to hospital where they would have taken a blood sample.
Okay.
And do you know, Paul, that when they take blood samples, if you're in custody in a hospital, are you aware they take two samples and one is given to the police?
I did not know that, no.
Because the police will use in Sydney a laboratory, because it's really important to make sure that, you know, both parties are testing the same product.
Yep.
That way I imagine there can be no assumed bias to get the result. But he would have been massively... I mean, those injuries are serious, and also he would need to have been treated. So he would have been conveyed by ambulance to hospital. The blood would have been taken... at the hospital, once he'd come good, he would have then gone before the court, depending on his driving record.
Yeah.
But the insurance that he had would have been null and void if he had been intoxicated. And I'm making an assumption that he was. He would have gone over the limit. And not only is this a really kind of sort of sobering story insofar as the damage to his vehicle, but he would also had to have paid, and this would have been very expensive because they would had to have got a mobile crane in to extricate the car from the tree.
Yes.
And then they'd have to get people in, arborists, to make sure that the tree didn't have to be, well, I was going to say put down, but that's... Well,
I mean, you don't want any widow makers falling on anyone.
No, no, no. So, you know, there's a lot to it. And thank you very much to that listener for that wonderful story.
That was a great question. I mean, that was a great question. It really kind of brought out some interesting stories. Well, I mean, I would like to just really tip my hat and give my extreme gratitude and thanks to Dan Leedley for that great question, that great story. I'm really curious to see as to whether, Dan, if your family have any more kind of information about that case and what kind of happened with that guy, if there's any follow-ups at all. I'm really curious to see where that goes. But I think that's all the time we have for this week's episode of Loose Ends. That was so much fun. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this absolute romp of an episode. Thanks, Dad. And tell you what, let's all do this again on Tuesday. We'll see you next week for more Loose Units. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye.
Cheerio.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.